It is indeed that most wonderful time of the year. Time to throw on your favorite Christmas sweater and settle in with Bethlehem's Touchstone Theater for a heartfelt, homegrown celebration of the Christmas season in the Christmas City. For 24 years now, Touchstone has been ringing in December with the latest edition of the Christmas City Follies, the holiday vaudevillian variety show that's made fresh from scratch every year. Follies features a dash of music, a pinch of merriment, and just a smidge of festive hijinks. And it's become our very own original Lehigh Valley holiday tradition, running this year from December 1st through December 22nd. This is WDIY 88.1 Public Radio, and you are tuned in to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain Kate Scuffle, your host, and this evening I'm talking with Touchstone Artistic Director and Follies Director, J.P. Jordan, and Touchstone Education Director and Ensemble Member Mary Wright about the freshly baked 2024 edition of the Christmas City Follies. Welcome, J.P., and welcome, Mary.
Thanks for having us, Kate.
It's always great to be here.
Well, and it's always great to revisit the Follies because it's always new as well. And forgive all the baked analogies. There is something to the idea that the Follies, in a way, has a recipe and yet lots of room for new ingredients and different flavors every year. Would that seem correct?
Yeah, you know, we have a fresh apprentice batch every year and the mixing in with a veteran ensemble. It's always a new stew, you know, but it's always got the same name.
And for our listeners, I mean, we've talked about this before, but I think it's fascinating. How do you make that stew or this recipe? You start a while back. It's in the pot a long time. How are each year's Follies created? What's the process like?
I think a lot of us catalog throughout the year a lot of ideas. I know I come in, like I keep on my phone on like my notes app. I'll be working stuff throughout the year thinking like, here's something, a prompt I can throw out to the ensemble. And I think a lot of us do that. But then we get into the studio on the opening day. And what happens is we have a big blank wall and we fill it up with sticky notes of these different ideas. And it's not overestimating to say that we come probably near 100 ideas around that wall at the end of the first day. And ultimately probably get whittled down to about 12 of those original ideas, plus maybe about 8 other ideas that have creeped up along the way or kind of variations of things that ultimately end up making up, we call the script or the score of the kind of performance of Follies as the audience experiences it.
Huh, that's interesting. So it is truly, in a way, it is a very much a vaudeville in that it's a series of these moments, bits, thoughts. What emerges to help you decide what stays and what goes, what sticks?
I've always, as the director, I've always approached this as an album. Mm. It's like what fits on the album, right? So recording a music album, like we have different songs that are being created. And so when we put those together and we think about what constitutes the album, it's like what fits in. So in any given year, there may be some amazing Follies bit that no one has ever seen, just because like with everything else of the strength of the material and the way the thing takes form, it may just not fit on the album. You know, the theme or just the overall feel of where we need to go and navigate the show to create the ups and downs and the mix of music, humor, and pathos along the way, and how those things get blended together. So there is a lot of stuff every year on the cutting room floor that is like amazing A-level kind of material.
It's interesting because I'm always struck when seeing it how diverse and kind of, you know, think really, as you said, ranging from humor to pathos to music to, and yet it always feels like by the end of the evening, there is some kind of internal kind of rhythm / theme, something that it makes it feel like, yeah, an album's a good analogy. Like there's a sense of something that's connective through the evening, a tone or a mood. But with the album analogy, you're not looking at quote unquote a theme, but a different feeling, like different feels kind of emerges here. I mean, I think the model for creating a piece this way means that it's probably can be impacted really quickly and easily by what's going on in our world, what we're feeling this year. Do you feel like we're past kind of responding to the COVID experience, or are we still really kind of enjoying and wallowing and really in the best way in being together again in community? Does that seem to come through the piece at all, or are there other things that you might have noticed emerging this year?
I was going to say, I think that what happens every year is that because it is made brand new from scratch every year, and folks who come see Follies year after year still are dumbfounded that is how it happens. luckily, as JP was saying, some of those ideas that don't make one year, we hang on to them, and maybe they might make the next year or the next. I hung on to an idea for probably 5 or 6 years until it finally found its way into the show. Oh. But I think what happens is that, you know, we're creating new every year. And so we've been living the same year everybody else has been. Mm-hmm. And so we're creating out of our own experience, out of our own feeling about the world and what's happening. We're responding to the same thing everybody else is responding to. And so, yeah, we're grateful to be able to be together. And I think people are really relishing the fact that we can celebrate together. We can be with family. We can be with friends. And there's a lot of that sense of joy and that sense of reflection of shared times in the past and shared times presently that's in the show this year.
And it's interesting because there's also such a strong, there's always that strong thread of that emotion and feeling, that sense of the holidays, and then always such an intense kind of crazed humor as well. It's such a beautiful balance about it in such an intimate space. Does it change? I mean, given that, more or less than other productions or shows, does it tend to change once it opens with audience response? Does that feed a sense of energy for the show? I would imagine it does. It's so much, it's rather than a scripted arc of a story, we've got this kind of very interactive moment to moment with the audience in a really lovely, refreshing way.
Yeah, it's really great as a performer to have a chance to have as many performances in a row as we do of this show, because every audience is different. And so we discover new things every performance, and the joyful things that we discover, we get to embed in it. It doesn't radically change, but our ability to play with the audience and to play off of what the audience is giving us does mean that every show is a little different than the one before and the one that comes after.
Well, it's interesting being in the audience for Follies, because the audience is obviously really affectionate about the show and has a sense of ownership and really looks forward to, I mean, it's just a really wonderful energy. If our listeners have made the mistake of not getting to Christmas City Follies yet, you really need to experience it. Do you feel like over the years too, aside from the basic structure and going into the room and the post-it notes, the ideas, the prompts, the kind of sorting through, looking for that album continuity, has doing it year after year changed anything else about how you do it, more or less music, more or less humor? Or is it just like kind of coming home every Christmas to this very familiar, successful, comfortable formula? I mean, because I remember at different years, there's different characters and things that I would have found beloved to me, but, you know, they kind of come and go, whatever. And then there's other characters like Little Red who are real constants. Is that a sense of response from the audience or a way of anchoring the piece in a way?
This goes back to the question you asked about the zeitgeist and how it affects the way we create. So when we get in the room, we have to approach it as a blank slate each time. We certainly know what's come before, mm-hmm. but we have to live in the now and say to ourselves, what's going on right now? We can't step on the same stream twice, and, you know, we can't do that here. And so we always come into it kind of at first, it's like, great, we're back in the room, check it all out. And then we slowly start to develop material that is very reflective of kind of exactly what the zeitgeist is at the current state of time. So if the world's in a chaotic place, then they're around us, or we're all feeling sad, like that's what we create first in many ways, because that's what the people need to get out. But then we have to look at ourselves and the structure of what we're doing and realize that Follies is not therapy for us, but it's a means for the community to come together in a collective way. So how can we take these things that we're feeling right now and reflect them back to the audience? And so if we're feeling sadness, it doesn't necessarily mean that, cool, we should all do really sad stuff on stage. It's, we should recognize that, and the craft as the actor creator and, you know, as writers in the room, it's us taking that and understanding that we need to reflect back, that we are all part of, the same tribe, and here's what we're experiencing, and this is what we can take in, kind of gestate for a period of time, and give back to kind of make sense or to apply salve to, mm-hmm. to what we're currently going through.
Yeah, I was just going to add, JP, that the world is chaotic right now, and there's a lot of things to be very sad about. that part of what we have to do is, going back to the sort of cooking analogy, is we have to balance that flavor. So what's the sweetness? What's the joy? What's the laughter that everybody needs to help sort of counterbalance whatever else they may be feeling? And not to ignore the pathos, but not to dwell in it either.
You've been listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and I've been speaking with Touchstone Theater's J.P. Jordan and Mary Wright about Touchstone's 24th annual Christmas City Follies, the warm, deliciously funny, and much-loved holiday vaudeville running December 1st through December 22nd at Touchstone Theater in Bethlehem. We'll be right back after this short break.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and tonight I'm talking with Touchstone Theater's J.P. Jordan and Mary Wright about Touchstone's 24th annual Christmas City Follies, the much-loved holiday tradition running at Touchstone Theater December 1st through December 22nd. And while we were on break, sorry audiences, you missed it, we were chatting about over the years, because this is the 24th, yes, the 24th. Over the years, given the flexibility of the format and the nature of the show, one of the things that I've often thought was that the Follies kind of allows breathing room for acknowledging that, you know, there's no one perfect way to have Christmas or the winter holidays, that there's everyone's kind of way into it can be very different families, different traditions, and that it's all good. And it also affects people in different ways. There's, because of that, how interesting it is to be part of that as a performer. So Mary, could you share with me, you were saying it can be very different to come off stage each evening and out into the lobby and encountering the audience in that way.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to me as a performer to be able to finish a show and come up into the lobby and invariably there's people waiting, which is always a delight. And there might be somebody there who greets me and they're laughing and they're cheery and they say, this is the best show ever. And they've had a blast. And there's somebody else waiting for me who is holding back a little bit. And I know that this person has had a really rough year, and they come up and they give me a big hug, and then they might whisper in my ear, thank you. And like I was saying to you before, it's to know that we're part of something that feeds people wherever they're at and gives them something that they need, that everyone can find something that feeds them at this show. And to be part of that feels like such a privilege and brings me a lot of joy.
Yeah, and I think it's really lovely that there's a sense that Christmas or the winter holidays, whatever, are have a kind of richness that all our stories are worth sharing, laughing at in some cases. And I would imagine people have a great sense of ownership of it, that this has become a family tradition for them in many ways.
Oh, it has. Like we talk about it often. Bill George and I, who we've been doing this what feels like forever. And that we've watched families grow up in front of our eyes, and how wonderful it is to watch a family when the kids graduate from high school and go off to college, and the family then waits until those kids come back from on winter break to get their tickets to come see Follies, because it's become such a family tradition that they can't imagine going into the holidays without it. And so to watch that happen is amazing.
And the Valley too. I mean, I think the Valley, Bethlehem particularly, of course, has really embraced it as, like I said, their own homegrown tradition. JP, could you tell us a little bit about to the degree that actually the Follies gang will be showing up around town outside of the theater as well, aren't they? I think starting November 24th.
Yeah, absolutely. On Black Friday, led by ensemble member Sam Beadle, our our crew will be over at the Northside tree lighting there on Black Friday for a a surprise spectacle that will happen. We're all really looking forward to. And on the Saturday at 5 o'clock, I believe, there is the Southside tree lighting there on New Street. And our MFA students are actually in charge of that. So every year, Touchstone takes a cohort of MFA students into our program in performance creation that we do in collaboration with Moravian University. So that's a great time to come out. And it's always great to be on the South Side. And but our students will be there, and they'll be walking around in the audience, and maybe there'll be a little bit of the spectacle that we saw over at the North Side tree lighting will happen over at the South Side tree lighting as well. But yeah, we've been running the MFA program now for the last 5 years. We're in the process of recruiting for our sixth cohort into the program. And it's all really built off the backbone of the Touchstone Apprenticeship, which has been going on for now 25 years. It's just within the last 5 years that started, the students have been able to get a degree along with it. And so it, you know, allows people coming here to learn exactly what it is that Touchstone does and how we create performance. And especially if they want to dig into how to create performance around, you know, issues in the community, which Touchstone is known for, like, this is an ideal place. It's a super affordable program. It's done in a short period of time. Like, a lot of MFA programs are 3 years with summers off. Ours is a 21-month program year round. And then the students get to experience all levels of Touchstone's work. And it's only $8,500 a year, which is much less than a lot of other MFA programs out there. So it's a unique opportunity right here. We only look to take about 6 students a year too, because when you think about that Follies cast, we can't, you know what I mean? There is X amount of veteran actors, and there's only so much room on the building.
On the stage.
Yeah. What else would be exciting for Touchstone too? Are nice to have the changing faces, you know, fresh energy coming in with each class, given that you work so closely together, you know. And they have input into the Follies, of course, as well, right? They're part of the gang.
Oh, they are full-fledged company members for the process, and everybody's ideas are equal in the rehearsal room.
And that's something.
Yeah, it's a master's degree. So when they're coming in here, it's about them and their personal practice. So when they step into the studio with us, like, sure, there's some kind of reverence for the veterans in the room. But we need to approach this thing as like, cool, you are an artist working alongside of me. Let's value everybody's vision here in this thing. And out of that, it just helps create a richness of the material that we get every year, whether that's with the degree granting program or historically through the apprenticeship. Some of the best pieces I've seen have come from apprentices.
And just for our listeners to know, actors and performers from Follies will also be participating in the Downtown Bethlehem Association Live Advent Calendar, right, which runs, December 1st to the 23rd. Every day at 5:30 at Historic Bethlehem Museum and Sites, 1810 Gundy House on Main Street. I highly recommend it. It's a lovely part of the Christmas City celebrations every year here in Bethlehem, the perfect city to host Christmas City Follies. Before we go, too, we should warn our listeners, as you know, once being the holiday tradition it is, once the show opens, things start to tend to sell out pretty quickly. What should our listeners think about? They should be getting tickets now, I imagine.
Definitely. Be getting tickets now. They do sell out quickly. And especially the later shows, when people wait around, unfortunately, people not show up at the door night of. And oftentimes those tickets are sold out weeks in advance. I'm sure we still have tickets available for every one of the shows at this point. Mm-hmm. But I'd move quickly.
And we would suggest to you consider, if you want to go as a group, then you better plan that early as well, which is a wonderful way to enjoy the show. The shows are at, just to share, December 1 through the 22nd again at 8 p.m. Thursdays through Saturdays, 2 p.m. on Sundays, with an additional performance at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, December 20th. Tickets are $25, $15 for student seniors. Pay what you will at the door on Thursdays. And you can find out more at touchstone.org. No spoilers, though. I don't think you can only find out how to get tickets. But is there Anything that you were surprised? I just have to ask. I'm curious. Anything that particularly you'd want to share that you were surprised emerged with the Follies this year, or particularly tickled with, or anything you would like to tease our listeners with?
For me, I would say that there was one. I'll spoil it here for those that remember the Christmas Pirates.
Oh, God.
I never expected the Pirates to come back, but they are potentially sailing back into onto the stage.
The return of the Christmas Pirates. See, there you go. I'm still waiting for the dinosaurs, but that's just me.
I love that dinosaur scene. That was great.
Oh, I've never recovered. And that's just very typical, folks, of the Christmas City of Follies. It's just memorable, fresh, lovely, and all-encompassing for the holiday. Wonderful way to celebrate. Before we go, I was, thinking, JP, we were talking about the Moravian MFA program and the students working with you. You mentioned ensemble, and we only have a couple moments left, but for our listeners who may not be aware, in general, not just Christmas City Follies process reflects the way Touchstone operates as an ensemble. Can you give us, in a nutshell, for the layperson, what that means, why that's different than another kind of theater company, per se? What is ensemble?
Sure. So the basic gist of the way kind of the network of ensemble theater and Touchstone defines ensemble, we do have this, the kind of a national organization of which, like, Touchstone was actually a founding member of when Mark McKenna was the artistic director. Mm-hmm. And the idea here with ensemble is it's basically a group of artists who are committed to working with each other over a long period of time to create a kind of artistic language and a relationship that allows for successful art making. And so for us, Mary and I have been in the studio now for over 15 years together creating art, longer. Lisa's been at the Touchstone, I think 21 years. This is my, I think, 19th Christmas City Follies that I'm working on. And of course, Bill founded the company and stuff. So like we are, committed to this work. We're committed to the company. And it's really about that. How do you spend over a period of time inability to create a shorthand and an understanding of the artists surrounding you to respond to whatever it is artistically or out in the community that you want to be responding to.
Thank you for that. And again, for our listeners, it's one of the things that makes Touchstone really unique and allow it to create wonderful pieces like Christmas City Follies, as well as their other work. We're just about out of time, sadly, so I can't get any more spoilers, but again, for our listeners, it's the 24th annual Christmas City Follies ringing in the holiday season at Touchstone Theater. And if you don't go online or give a call soon and get your tickets, you're not going to find out what cropped up in the recipe this year or what's new. And you don't want to do that. So thank you, JP. Thank you, Mary. I know you guys are crazy in the midst of rehearsal and tech and things going on right now. Thank you for taking the time to spend with us.
Sure thing.
Thank you, Kate. And thank you, WDIY, for having us.
It's our pleasure. And thank you, listeners, as well, for joining us tonight. I'm Kate Scuffle, your host. This is WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. And I look forward to joining you again soon, right here in the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. If you enjoyed this program, please go to WDIY.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.